You are listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. This week, we're talking about hydroponics. So hydroponics is a technique of growing plants using water-based nutrient solutions rather than soil. It can be used by hobbyists, commercial enterprises, and farmers. This week, we're talking to some farmers in Scotts Bluff, the Kerr family, who are growing produce for their local area. In hydroponics, this is a growing service farming market. These alternative farming approaches are bringing food closer to the communities they surround and start in, plus helping other economic needs as well. Vertical farming saves land, space, and as we talk to the Kerr family of Thirsty Roots, we'll learn a little bit more about this. So let's get into that interview now.
My name is Jared Kerr, and I'm one of the four co-founders of Thirsty Roots Farm. We are located just north of Scotts Bluff, a few miles on Experiment Farm Road, and we aim to bring the Panhandle and largely Scotts Bluff area some fresh local greens that are grown 365 all day, every day, and ultimately try to bring some really cool stuff to the Panhandle area. I grew up in western Nebraska in Scotts Bluff and went to high school there, and then moved out to Iowa to go to school, and then moved up to Minneapolis to do my other job as well. So worked for Target on the side, and then help co-found and help co-run this farm with our family. Before I pass it off, one of our other co-founders is Maggie, my wife. Mm-hmm. We met while working at Target in Minneapolis, actually. And together, we both live in Denver and do call it like HQ style stuff for the farm. So if you think about accounting, all the planning, some of the sales stuff, and we really try to take care of that side of the house while my parents do more of the day-to-day stuff. Dad, I'll pass it off to you and Mom.
Perfect. So I guess, Jim, what did you say that you did before you retired and started helping with hydroponic growing?
Yeah, I was actually a president of a local trucking and transportation company. So I was there for about 45 years or so, and long enough that we were done with that. And now we have a second career.
Yeah, how do you feel about the switch?
It's different. Both me and Nancy grew up on a farm in Iowa. So we're around farming, and we've always done gardening and stuff like that. But hydroponic farming is much different. And Jared's had to lead us through that. And it's been quite an adventure learning about the importance of it, for one, and how to do it a totally different scale than what you'd think about as the garden.
Yeah. So, Jared, what made you and Maggie really want to get into hydroponic growing?
Similar to, I guess, some of the other, like, throughout the pandemic era, we lived in a condo in downtown Minneapolis for 8 years. And without any real access to the outdoors or to be able to grow anything for ourselves, we were drawn to a home-based hydroponic system. So like a small one that has, call it like 30 plants in it, and also has LEDs. So we did that for a couple of years, and ultimately I was looking and thinking about a new job as well, and saw that we could potentially start a new farm and do this on a much larger scale using the containerized technology to grow plants every day, and ultimately decided that was something we wanted to try and do. So yeah, Maggie and I took a look at and built the business plan, and then ultimately talked with my parents about it a little bit too, and thought Scotts Bluff was a great place to start, both from the access to some of those specialty or some of those niche greens, or even greens throughout majority of the year when it's not able to be grown throughout winter, etc. So really bringing the proximity to those fresh greens and produce to the Scotts Bluff community was something we wanted to try and see if we can make work. Ultimately, try to really reduce the amount of miles that your food travels and bring a higher nutritious product to the area, which may not have been seen really on a large scale basis thus far. So we kind of used our personal experience and saw a potential area where we could solve a problem and are giving it a shot. Been fun to try. It's definitely a lot of learning curves. There's a lot of different things than our general growing day to day that my mom would speak to and some of the challenges that we faced, but it's been an ever learning process.
That's awesome. So what is your guys's primary water source?
We use groundwater. So we use just like a typical ground pump, and then we ended up testing it before we used it in the farm and put a reverse osmosis system. So we're able to filter out any of the contaminants there and some of the nitrates actually that come through there. We use groundwater. Generally, it's kind of surprising. These containerized solutions are really, really efficient when it comes to water use. So they use about roughly in between 85 to 95% less water than a traditional growing type methodology would use in a standard garden or even in a commercial application. The reason for that is because it's in a controlled environment. You don't lose the water to evaporation. So inside the farm, it basically uses about 10 gallons-ish of water per day on the plants. We use some other water for some of the cleaning and some of the just general day-to-day use and day-to-day operations. But really, the plants use very little water because it's so efficient. So basically what happens inside, there's a water reservoir that's loaded up with nutrients. And inside of that, it circles that nutrient-dense water into the plants, lets the roots soak up those nutrients, and then filters back all the excess water back into that reservoir. So basically, it maintains almost a somewhat closed loop there. So really, the only water that you lose is what the plants uptake or what happens to spill. So really, it's a pretty efficient operation when it comes to that, especially when you're thinking about thousands of plants in there at a time.
Yeah, and I have been on your guys' Facebook page, and man, those plants look so healthy and so crispy, and the salads that they are displayed in, I wish I could jump through the screen.
Yeah.
They look so good.
Yeah. It's kind of fun, too. It's not the types of lettuce that you'd typically see in a standard grocery store, so we're not growing the standard romaine heads, and we're growing a lot different types of stuff because that's what you can't get in Scottsbluff for the most time of the year. So that's where we've been able to help our community and help the restaurants in the area get access to something different that they typically have not been able to buy thus far. And we've seen some pretty cool creations, both from the people that buy from us direct, as well as what our restaurants are doing and some of the chefs that we've worked with so far too. So those have been pretty cool. And it's pretty fun just to see the customers' reactions when you can see our head size that ultimately is sometimes 10 inches across or 12 inches across when you're used to getting a pretty small little sometimes wilted piece of lettuce out of. So yeah, it's been a fun one where you can actually really see the difference day to day and get our customers used to something different.
How does it work for you with growing these massive heads of lettuce?
Yes. So it's actually pretty exciting. We've had to kind of learn about the whole process and hydroponics. You just don't turn the key on and then the plants arrive. So we had to learn that you can get too much water even inside the hydroponic farm and how to really control that scenario. But what is really exciting is to watch these plants grow from a seed in a seed table for about 3 weeks to a full-blown plant in 7 to 8 weeks. We had some massive plants. The conditions in the farm are just a little bit different depending on the time of the year. And we can have some massive plants that are huge. Really shows what the difference is when you can have a controlled environment, agriculture, and be able to grow that nutrient-rich plant. Pretty exciting on learning how to do that and to see those results come through.
And then do you folks get to taste test any of the different types of arrangements that the restaurants come up with?
We test all the stuff. So, and we always take the overrun and try different stuff with our on our own. But and actually Jared Megge put together some great recipes for people to try and to do make a salad that's different and exciting instead of just ordinary and kind of bland. And so we actually go to all our restaurants that are customers and at different times have tasted all the products that they've done. And so it's kind of fun to see that in the presentation that they do with a salad that's got your lettuce in it. So that's pretty cool.
That type of lettuce tastes way different than any other types of lettuce.
we've had it notated that it's not your grandma's lettuce from some of our customers.
Okay, you also do CSAs. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
What a CSA is, we'll start there. A CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and basically it's a program where traditionally a customer from a community would pre-buy a farm share. So it basically helps the farmer get some revenue up front, buy the supplies to be able to grow produce for that customer throughout the year. So that's traditionally how it works, and we've adopted it slightly. So what we do anyway is a customer will come to us and sign up for a season, and our season lasts 12 weeks. Within that, they get a farm share, which is 3 heads of lettuce, and then the option to add on additional heads of lettuce or some farm fresh arugula, which is picked that morning, which is also very different. But within that, the CSA is basically a subscription program, if you were to think about it in that sense, where they sign up for 12 weeks, you get 3 heads of lettuce picked up from Powerhouse on Broadway or one of our new partners in Mitchell, Paradigm Concepts, and they go there. Our customers are able to go into the restaurants, be able to sit down and have an appetizer and also pick up their lunch or pick up their dinner with the lettuce to be had, and then ultimately take that back and have that for that little season. So it's really a way for the community to buy into a farm and not only invest in the farmer, invest in their own community and having the access to that product as well. So it's a pretty cool program. They're available for all other types of products as well. So I know there's one that actually is for flowers in the Panhandle community as well. And then many other farms do this on a seasonal basis. Traditionally, it's for more of a garden-based or more of a traditional soil-based growing, but we've adopted it for us to make it work for us. And thankfully have seen a pretty good reaction from the community signing up for those CSAs.
Yeah, and it's great, you know, Nebraskans supporting Nebraskans, but also really great food. So you guys have leafy greens, so romaine, butterhead, baby arugula, a spring mix, but you also have herbs and edible flowers too, which I think is really wild and fun.
Actually, I'm going to pause. Mom, do you want to jump in on the types?
You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Sure. In the farm, we actually grow a pretty wide variety of different things, and we actually are continuing to test different types of stuff pretty regularly. So the main things that we do, while we do grow some of the romaines, it's not your typical romaine. It's more of a leafy type of romaine where you get really big leaves that are much more broad and actually almost have like an arc artistic view to be able to see through the leaf that our chefs really love using. But with that, we also have our own, call it like proprietary spring mix is what we like to call it, but it's basically 3 different types of lettuce. One is called an oak leaf, which is, if you think about like an actual oak tree, the leaf is somewhat similar to some of the oak trees where it has like those lobed type of leaves. And then we also have a lot of the colored leaves as well. So you think about like a red lettuce, red vein sorrel, kind of some of the stuff that comes through there. One of the other really big ones is a baby arugula. So we do quite a bit of volume across the Panhandle for that type of product. It is something that you probably have never really tried considering the pepperiness unless you've had it super fresh off the garden. But because it's grown in that controlled environment, it maintains a lot of flavor. So it's really cool to see both the reaction from our customers and from the chefs and how they can use that differently. More on the herbs and some of the other specialty things that we've done. We are testing and continue to do some of the more main types of basil, but we'll do like a purple basil. We can also do a Thai basil, some of those flavors that you just don't see in the in the grocery store day to day, and also the quality. So if you think about basil that you typically pick up at regular grocer, it is largely going to be wilted if it's been in there 3 or 4 days kind of thing. So because we are able to, one, harvest it that day and deliver it to our customers that day, as well as help them think about how to store that a little bit better than in a clamshell, just like a plastic container.
Yep.
We inherently help them be a little bit more efficient with their operations, have less food waste, and deliver something that has much more flavor and looks better when it's actually fresh. So those are all the kind of different herbs and stuff that we've gone through. Mustard greens come through, sorrel. We've seen a couple of our chefs use. We have dill that goes out regularly, and then in the summertime, mint that goes into a lot of drinks across the restaurants so far. To that point, we also have edible flowers, which are always fun to try and let people try picking them straight off the vine. Nasturtiums, if you've not tried it before, I actually would recommend you just try one straight out of garden if you get a chance. But they have like a peppery, little bit of peppery flavor in the center, and you can eat the entire thing basically if you just hold it at match where it hits the leaves or hits the petals. Pop that right in, eat the whole thing. It's a little bit of a peppery like taste, a little bit of a sweet taste all in one, because you get some of the nectar that comes through as well. It's pretty interesting. So yeah, we've done a few different of those for the Powerhouse on Broadway and for Paradium, but generally love to see and love to try. So we have some stuff growing in there, like jalapenos that we're thinking about for some of our clients and thinking about how we could grow those if it makes sense or not. We've done different types of lettuce. We've done different types of vegetables as well. We've tried some tomatoes here and there. Yeah, we're open to trying anything and everything. And I would say generally the technology supports a lot of it. But right now we're really focused on those leafy greens and herbs.
Yeah. And like you said, it makes a huge difference whether your food has come from somewhere far away and it's taken a week to even get to you, how fresh it is, versus somewhere that's, you know, only maybe a couple hours, an hour, or 15 minutes away and grabbing it and going. You have such a long life to it. That is just awesome. And so I really hope to see you guys expand. And I think that's really cool that you're experimenting with some stuff and you're able to, you know, really get a different variety going on in there.
One of the interesting things about the delivery, so we deliver to our chefs in a harvest cut. So we're actually, the red ball is still attached to the plant. So it's a live lettuce plant when we deliver it. So they can literally have a live lettuce plant in their restaurant, chop the roots off, wash it, spin it, and have it in a salad that quick. So that's how fresh it can be. So that's kind of cool, knowing that you literally could will harvest in the morning, they could have a salad at noon that was on the wall growing an hour before that.
Yeah, that's extremely great. And like I said, it just, you know, especially where you guys all work as such a great team to be able to make that happen for everybody. Mm. So what is the like typical time from when you first start a seed to when you're able to harvest it doing hydroponics?
Yeah, so you can kind of think about it almost similar to what you grow in soil, but depends on the variety. So if you're thinking about doing something that's like a baby type variety, it's similar to like the 3 weeks that you'd make it in a soil. So that could be like a baby arugula. It could be some of the baby sorrel leaves. And all to be said, it's relatively short, but majority of our plants, when it comes to lettuces or some of the herbs, are call it that 6 to 9 weeks worth of time frame. So pretty quickly it turns over, but how we manage our farm is we actually succession plan pretty well. So we're planting and harvesting every single week so that we can keep the restaurants full and keep our CSA customers happy. So we plant and harvest every week. We make sure that everything's continuing to be fresh, and then we refresh our herbs as needed and continue to just use the more like cut and grow style with them. So pretty interesting operation, but the turnover on lettuces at that 6 week ends up being a pretty cool thing and ultimately helpful to the community to provide that continual fresh lettuce. To keep up with our farm, we have our Facebook page or Instagram page that we post our updates to and when we're trying to do new launches for a CSA program or for CSA season or working with a new local business partner. So if you keep up, follow us there and watch out for our updates. We're able to share anything and everything as we try new varieties or have the chance to try something completely different flavor-wise at one of our local business partners at some of the restaurants. So we'd love to have you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, and or give us a shout if you see an opportunity for us to bring something new to your community as well. So thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys for everything today. I am so excited to have had you on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much to the Kerr family for explaining to us a little bit about how their business Thirsty Roots works and also for providing the area with such great vegetables and whatever else they might start growing in the area there to supply the food chain a little closer to home. And if you like this episode, you can always check us out at www.nebraskaontap.com for more episodes. We have a YouTube page, TikTok page, Instagram page, Twitter page. On Facebook, you'll find us at Middle Republican NRD. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcast, our RSS feed. I mean, we're everywhere. So hopefully you found us now. You'll find us later. So don't forget to like and subscribe, and we will talk to everyone later. Have a great one. Bye-bye.